on, so it must be working. Wow, what a woman, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the privilege, Connie and myself, of being part of this church on a regular basis over the last 5 or 6 years, and got to know Patsy, Pat, Mum, and so on, in such a wonderful way over that short time. But you guys have known her for tens of decades, you know, without being rude in any way. And she was such a special woman. Everything that we've heard today, Ruth did such an amazing job. I know it was a tough one for you to do, because you were especially close. And every time I hear about the coffee and cakes morning, it reminds me of Patsy. She was so good at making cakes, as we heard. But more than that, she was just such a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. A real believer. She believed everything she stood for. And you guys and her family, her husband, all of you, I know you would say the same as me. What a privilege, what an honor, what a joy it was to know this woman. And the great thing is to know that she knew like we know. There's an assurance of our faith that talks about in Hebrews chapter 10. Which says, basically, because we know who we are in Christ Jesus and we know what he did for us, the end of our life on earth is just a stopping off point for eternity. And, you know, I know one day I will see Patsy up there, and she'll probably still be making cakes. I hope she does want to welcome me back, because I like her chocolate cakes a lot. Are you listening? But she'll be there. And, you know, I don't know if any of you remember one of the times we were here ministering in the church. It was last month or the month before. And it was the time when Pat was coming to the end of her life. She was in hospital. And while we were praying for her here, I had a picture of Pat. And, you know, Pat was waiting, but the picture was really of Jesus Christ with his arms open, waiting to welcome her. So I knew, like, at that point that we were praying, but we were praying just for her eternal future, not for a time on earth, because it was clear that she'd reached that time. But all the time that she was here, the 6 years that I've known her, she's been unbelievably joyful. She would be sitting here in her chair with her oxygen in. Never did I not see her smiling, because she really knew the joy of the Lord is her strength. And that's the truth for all of us, that everything that comes against us on earth in our lives here is really not important. The most important thing is that we remember that one day we will be in eternity if we just trust Jesus Christ. That's what she knew. And call upon his name, because the Bible says in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. He desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And women too, by the way. It's not just us men. Hallelujah. We're a boring place in heaven if it was just men, I tell you. We'd be playing football all day. But it's really important for us to understand that's where she is. And this morning, I saw a picture of her. She was dancing before the Lord. She had a renewed body. No more oxygen help. She was just dancing and rejoicing before the Lord. And I saw, it was a funny picture, actually. Because I woke up and I opened the curtains and I thought, wow, what a beautiful day. I'm sure Patsy had something to do with this day. And I'm sure she went to Jesus and tugged at his prayer shawl or whatever he's wearing. If he's wearing, you know, I don't know what he wears up in heaven. But she would have pinched him on the side, I think, and said, hey, they are celebrating my life down there in Merstrom. Let's give them a good day. And she said, anything you ask, you can have. And then she said, and by the way, next week, they've got 150 years celebrating Merstrom Baptist Church. So can we give them a good week? And he said, yeah, no problem for me. Let them have a good week. And I can just see her full of joy looking down and saying, have a great day down there. Enjoy life from now on. Don't miss me, but we will. You know, she was so loved, enjoyed down here on earth. She was such a blessing here on earth. And, you know, in so many ways on earth, we are missing out on her. But she is so welcomed in heaven. She is standing there praying for us in heaven. She's standing before the Lord in the gap, remembering who we are. She'll never forget. You know, one of the things that surprised me just now in that wonderful, wonderful memory jerker there of her life that she got saved in 1989. Now, 1989 is a specifically good year for Connie and myself because of the year I gave up my work and we went into Bible school for a year with our family. We just put it all behind us and went abroad to study. But it was also the year, 1989, before we went to Bible school, we actually ministered at the Billy Graham crusade that she got saved at, and I never knew that. I wish I'd had that conversation with her before. Unbelievable, isn't it? But this is God. There's no coincidences with God. He knows what he's doing. I remember at that crusade, because we were on the prayer team praying for people who came forward. This is a slight sideline, but it goes in with what I'm going to be sharing about later. I remember people coming. We prayed for them. They gave their lives to the Lord. I don't remember seeing Pat, but then she'd have been so much younger. She might well have been one of them. I don't know. But I heard 6 months later when we were in Bible school, I got letters from somebody saying, "Do you remember you prayed for me? Now I'm part of this church and I'm going with the Lord." And Patsy would have been one of those who gave her life to the Lord, gave her life to serve him. Those songs we sang, you know, about serving him all the days of our life, honoring him, rejoicing in him, they just summed her up in such a wonderful way. And I just want to say thank you. She inspired me, okay? I know I'd come here regularly and preach, and Connie and I would share scriptures and teachings together, but she inspired me by her joyfulness, her positiveness. She really understood. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 15, which out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She knew the power of words. So she never spoke negatively. I never heard her say a negative word. She never complained about her illness. She just trusted the Lord with all her heart, leaning not on her own understanding, acknowledged him in all her ways, and he directed her path. What I have heard today about her is what I'm going to share about. So maybe we can have that scripture up there. It's Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read all the way through from 16 to 20, but we're going to concentrate on the second half of that from 18 upwards. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Let me just pause there a minute. Jesus appointed them a place to meet. In Hebrew, the word for appointed place is modi'in, and that's a place in Israel. And appointed time is modi'im. So God has an appointed time and an appointed place for every one of our lives. He had it for me. He had it for Patsy. The appointed time for her to really fall in love with him and know his love for her. And this is, I just wanted to highlight there in verse 16. In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Yeah, any of you go through patches like that, whether you're a believer or not? We can worship him together, but there are times in your life things happen and you doubt him. You doubt, how can, you know, it's happening at the moment. You know, anyone who watches the news, the amount of times I'm out on the streets giving out tracts, talking to people, sharing the gospel, when people say, "Well, how can you believe in God when there's all these awful things going on?" And I said to them, it's not God who makes the awful things do. He doesn't do the awful things. Man does it. Because God has given man choice. You can choose right, you can choose wrong. You can choose sin, you can choose goodness. You can choose righteousness, you can choose evil. That's a choice we make, and you know, we do face these choices every day. And that was the wonderful thing with Patsy. She would have faced these things all through her Christian life. I don't know what she was like before. We now know she was from London. She was from the Bow Bells of London, but she wasn't a Cockney. She was very, very posh, wasn't she? She spoke very, very good English. I think she must have been to the same school as Queen Elizabeth or one of those. But she was posh, but she was a Londoner. And maybe because I'm a Londoner, that I love London town. I lived in London from the age of 12, so I love London too. But I love living out in the country even more, I must admit. And verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "Here we are. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." We've heard the testimonies of Patsy's life, how she never missed an opportunity to share the love of God with those people she met. There's a wonderful scripture that God put in my heart for her before I even knew the story. And I'm going to read that to you. I think we've got it up on there. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And this really sums her up for me, and should sum each one of us, by the way, as Christians. Because, you know, the Great Commission, which I just read you in Matthew 28, I think a lot of us think that's for the evangelists amongst us. But it doesn't actually say that. If you read that again and underline it in your, if you're allowed to underline in your Bible, I put notes all over my Bible. I get told off because my Bible's twice as heavy as it should be because I got so many notes in it. But underline the bit where it says it's for all who believe. Because then every time you read that, you will not think, here I am, send him, he's an evangelist. You'll realize when God says, go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. You could be a pastor, you could be a teacher, and I know we've got some teachers here. You could be the banker down the road, whatever you may be. You don't have to be an evangelist to share the gospel. Because he says, I will be with you when you share the gospel. That means he's going to speak. A great friend of mine, and some of you who have been on crosswalks, he said that originally when God called him, he's an evangelist, by the way, but when he was called, God said to him, you walk, I'll talk. That's a nice thing to remember. You walk out there, and I'll talk to you and through you. And that's a challenge for all of us, because, you know, I remember when God spoke to me about going out into our own town of Horsham, you know, I said, how come no one's in Horsham Town Center? It's Saturday, it's market day, there's so many people here. Where are the Christians? And God said, you're here. And I said, you know, I argued with God, like most of us probably would have. Yeah, but I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor, you know, I really have a soft heart. God, you know, trying all sorts of excuses. And God said, you're here. Oh. So from the next week, I started to change. I mean, I'm not going to say it was the easiest thing on earth for me to do. But it's a step of discipline, and I can really confirm what he says, or what he spoke to my friend Eric. You walk, I'll talk. Because most of the time I'm blank, thinking, wow, what am I going to say to these guys? And then God will say something. And that's how it is for each one of us. I know there are people in this room, and I love this, do prayer walks. And whenever I go up in any teams, I say we're not only evangelizing, we're walking and praying for these streets of whatever, Merstrom, Horsham, Crawley, wherever it might be, London. London very much needs our prayers at this time. So important. Let me read the scripture then, because it really does sum her up. And I'm so glad God gave me the scripture earlier in the week when I was thinking, what am I going to share about this beautiful, wonderful woman of God? And this is what it says in verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord, that means set God, set the Lord God apart in your hearts. So we have to do something within us. And always be ready. This is just, you know, I couldn't have used better words for Patsy's life. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness or with humility and with the fear of the Lord. You do it, you don't do it to gain attention to yourself. You do it because you love people so much that you want them to spend eternity in heaven. You know, we don't often mention hell in the church these days, but there is a hell and there's a heaven. And Patsy is in heaven for sure, because she did everything right. She didn't do it because she was aiming for special marks. She did it because she knew it was a heart. God looks at the heart of man. God looks at the heart of woman. God looks at the heart of children. And he desires for that heart to be after him. Like it talks about King David, he had a heart after God. That means he wanted to serve God in everything that he said, everything that he did. And I saw that so much in the little time. You know, what a privilege it has been that little time to know this wonderful woman. Because I would see her, even when she was struggling for breath, she'd be smiling at people who come into the church. She'd be looking out to talk to people. She would do the cake and prayer mornings and afternoons because she wanted people to come in that door who wouldn't come in because it's a Sunday service or as a prayer meeting, but they'll come in for cake and coffee. Have you noticed that? If you open your house and say, put a notice outside your house, free cake and coffee, you'll get a lot of people knocking on your door, including me, as long as you give me your address. But that's the truth. She wanted people to come in, because once you come in, you can't come into a building which is set apart as holy for the Lord and not in some way be affected. it happened in my life, you know. I was challenged before. I thought I was a good guy, you know. I had a wife and kids, and I looked after them pretty well most of the time. Don't ask her after the service, okay? Otherwise, I might have to make a confession. But most of the time, I was reasonably good, you know. I was brought up in church, and, you know, I knew what was right and what was wrong. And I chose most of the time to do what was right. I can't say I did it all the time. But I didn't understand about knowing God in the same way as Patsy found out and anyone else here finds out. We need to know him. We need to make him Lord of our lives. And then things change. Then your priorities change. Then everything in life changes. And this is what Pat found out. And she shared daily, probably sometimes she probably disrupted people's lives by sowing a word Jesus, or the word salvation, or the word savior, or the word heaven and hell. I mean, we don't like the word hell, as I said before, but it's real. If you don't follow Jesus, unfortunately, you go to hell. And nobody, I mean, the thought of it just breaks my heart to think of anybody going to a place which is so, so, so bad. And yet it's so simple to make sure we have a ticket to ride upwards into heaven. So we need to make sure we call on the name of Jesus, call him into our lives, give our lives over to him, and let him give you that ticket to ride the train to heaven. That's the destination. That's the destination where Patsy is today. She's up there singing, rejoicing, dancing in a perfect way. I mean, I can't imagine me dancing in a perfect way when I've got two left feet, but hey, God can do miracles. I can sing. I can play guitar. I'd rather be in the worship band and let the others do the dancing. But I think God will get me off our feet and make me dance too, like he's doing with Patsy. I see her, full of the joy of the Lord. Still, that smiling face. She came through tough times, never complained about it. She was ready, as we heard in Ruth's reflection, when she was in hospital and people visited her. She was ready. She was ready to go to the heavens. And she's in a place that talks about it in Revelation where there's no pain. There's no tears. She's not. She's only crying out of joy, not crying out of pain, not crying out of sickness. She's joyfully has tears of joy in heaven because she knows this is the place she will stay for eternity. And I remember ministering at my own father's funeral so many years ago. I mean, it's, 10 years ago, I think, to this year. A lot of my family don't believe in the Lord. But my father, though he was brought up as a Catholic, he gave his life, which was, I mean, he used to talk about miracles even within the Catholic Church, so there's no problem with that. But he actually one day realized he needed to ask Jesus to be his savior. And he did. He came to one of our ministry nights, our missions seminars we were running. And he caught up when the call came from the front, if you need to know Jesus as your personal savior, come to the front. I was shocked. He walked through to the front. I thought, this is dangerous. But he knew the Lord. And at his funeral, I remember saying to everyone in the congregation, I know Patsy is speaking this through heaven now, that she is saying, everyone in this place, I desire that you know Jesus, that you finish your life or your life on earth and join me in the heavenlies, singing and dancing in a way you've never sung and danced before. That's her desire for our lives, not to Life on earth has its concerns and so on. So we don't live a concernless, there's no such word, concernless life. But we know that Jesus is walking with us through those. That song we sang at the end of the first session is based on Psalm 23, which is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means Jesus, who is goodness, Jesus, who is merciful, Jesus, who is faithful, he will walk with you through those shadows of the valley of death. He will be right there beside us when you have the testing times in our lives. He's not going to say, oh, wow, I'm going to just jump ship here because it's getting a bit naughty down here. No, he's going to walk you through and he's going to see you through to the other side. And just as I did that during my father's funeral, I just spoke to people who I knew because they were my brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, our own family members and friends, and said, Dad would say nothing more than if there's anything else, his greatest wish would be that you join him in heaven as he's enjoying the presence of heavenly life. So that's my call unto you today. I don't want to go too long today. I'll share, maybe one or two more scriptures, and then we'll come and we'll sing, because I really want us to be seeing the blessing of you. Let me look at one scripture, and it really is also summing up where or what Patsy deserves today. And it's from Isaiah, Old Testament, but it's so relevant to life generally. And it's verse 12. And it says, "For you shall go out with joy." Does that not sum her up? "You shall go out from this earth with joy and be led out with peace." She went peacefully. I wasn't there, but I've heard she went joyfully, peacefully, no screaming out, crying out, any of that. And then it goes on to say, "The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you." I think we need to break forth into singing on this days of thanksgiving for a special, special life. But then this is the last bit. "And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I don't know how you feel about this. Can we just stand up and clap your hands for the life of a very, very special woman? Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for my dear friends here, the people who are part of this church, Merstham Baptist Church here in Merstham, and all the family members, Lord, who have joined us, friends, Lord, who've known Patsy for so many more years than I knew her. But Lord, you knew her forever, from everlasting to everlasting. You knew her before she was knitted together in a mother's womb. Before she was formed in her mother's womb, at that day of creation where you brought order onto a chaotic world, a chaotic earth, Lord, you knew that one day this woman would be born to her parents, Lord. And you knew the day she would serve you. You knew the day she would make that decision to follow you all the days of her life. You knew, and you had prepared the way, Father, for her. You gave her the words to speak. You gave her the testimonies to talk about. You gave her the name, which is above all names, the name of Jesus, to just mention the name of Jesus to all she came across, Lord. Father, I want to pray for that anointing which was on her life. It was a choice she made to choose life and not death, to choose blessing and not cursing, Father. She truly was a blessing, and she still is a blessing, because she is living from everlasting to everlasting. And she knew, Lord, that as it says in Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Lord, that's the truth for every one of us in this room today, whether we're a child, a woman, a man, at whatever age, Lord, that your love is abounding towards them. Your desire is that they would know you just as your dear, dear chosen daughter, Pat, knew you, Father, and chose to follow you, Lord. Father, we cannot do this in our own strength, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So, Father, I pray in this room now, Father, for everyone who doesn't know you in the same way, Lord, that you would just touch their hearts, open their hearts, let them make those choices, Lord. Lord God, we are created for eternity. Our spirit lives on beyond the days that we are here on earth, Lord. So I thank you, Father. I ask you, Lord, make yourself known amongst those who need to know you, Lord, that they would know you as a loving Father, Lord. Let them not be affected by what they see, Lord. Ah, Father, I'm just reminded of Patsy again. She really did rejoice always. She prayed without ceasing. And in everything, she gave thanks to you, for she knew this is the will of the Father for her life, Lord. So I thank you, Father, that we just join with the angels now in heaven, and we ask you, Lord, move amongst this wonderful congregation of people, Lord, who are gathered here to honor, to give thanks for a woman of great substance, as it talks about in Proverbs 31, a woman of great substance. Her substance was full of you. And Lord, yeah, that wonderful scripture, you're reminding it. me from Hebrews 11, verse 6, Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who believe must first believe that He is, He exists. He is in perfection, and He forgives all our sins. So those who seek Him diligently, Lord, You say they will find You, Lord. You don't keep Yourself hidden, Lord. You want to be known, Father. I pray for an anointing on our lives, Lord, to be like Pat, Lord. Be willing to share the hope we have in Christ Jesus with anyone and everyone who will listen, Lord. Father, we want to see You move mightily in this congregation, but in this beautiful area of Merstham, in Surrey, and throughout our nation, Father. I thank You, Father, for this honor I have, Lord, to be here today to share this wonderful day, this beautiful day, Lord. Father God, to give thanks for a beautiful, beautiful woman who we love and we know You love. Her name is written in the palms of Your hands, as are those of us who choose You, Lord. So I thank You, Father. I bless this congregation with understanding, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord, to the spiritual realm. Open their ears to the Holy Spirit's voice. And open their hearts and give them a heart of understanding. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.